Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good rainy Monday to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. D-Mace moving today. House 18. We wish him nothing but the best in his move today. Derek, we'll be thinking about you. Wish we could help, but hey, man, we have to work. Sorry. But good luck with everything. We'll get the deets tomorrow when he joins us on the program. Chase, the suit, not sure what he's doing today. Probably in meetings and luncheons. That's my guess. Elijah Campbell manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Willie, what's up?
Hey, Darren. The show must go on. You know, you got these people, they got a lot to doing, a lot going on. You know, we got to press forward.
Well, I just wanted Derek to know that he's in our thoughts. We would love, you know, as a show, we would have been more than happy to help, but we have to work, so he's on his own.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have too much heavy stuff. Sofas, beds, you know.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, this is house 18, so I'm not sure how it's going.
Well, he probably knows the drill then, I guess. Huh?
He definitely knows the drill by now, yes. That's a good way of putting it. He knows the drill, for sure. So how was your weekend?
It was busy.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Good weekend. Some high highs, some tough lows. But that's what it's all about.
Well, there is some, good news. If you were wondering, in case you were going to, we're going to talk about it. You're wondering if, your blood is still boiling from yesterday in Pittsburgh. Malkin is going to have a hearing this evening for the cross-check on Borowiecki. So we've talked about this before. Typically, the hearing means you're going to get suspended. True?
Oh, he's going to get suspended. There was no doubt about that the minute it happened. But that doesn't do the Predators any good, really.
No.
That's what I'm disappointed about more than anything else. I think that was a formality. As soon as TNT went to their intermission coverage, the entire panel said he's getting suspended. And it was unanimous. Gretzky, Anson Carter, Rick Tocchet, Liam McHugh, they all agreed it was just going to be how many games. So it was so blatant that they knew. So that really underscores the disappointment from the Predators. And I haven't talked to John Hines. I haven't talked to David Poile. I wasn't on the trip. But I know that they had to be outraged by how they actually called the play in real time. They completely bungled it from several levels. And it may have had an outcome on the game. Now, look, you still have a chance
that
to win the game. And, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, but
got one point instead of two. That's a bungled call.
That's still a fair statement. I mean, it could have quite possibly, yes, played a factor in. I mean, if the Predators, if it's a major, right, or at least 4 full minutes, they at least deserve that.
At the very least.
So could it, you know, could that have affected the outcome? Yes, and you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter. There's not going to be an asterisk in the standings that says, you know, got robbed possibly of a point.
Right. That's not how it works.
That's not going to be in the standings. But we can talk about it and say it could have played a factor in this. I think what's the biggest mystery to anybody paying attention to that game is, okay, was there something we missed on the broadcast on TNT? Is there something that, because Pete and Hal were there and they were perplexed by it. Of course, they were describing it on radio. I guess, you know, it's one thing if TNT didn't show us certain angles. Did I miss the slash from Borowiecki? Because the only slash I saw was Malkin whacking Borowiecki's stick in half before he decided to bloody up his face with a high stick. So, well, I don't, what, you, where am I missing you may the Orvietsky slash? And Malkin didn't get the slash when he clearly slashed. So did we miss Borowiecki slashing before that whole sequence began?
Well, that was a question I had. So I went back and watched. I watched 5, 6, 7, 8 times at least. Not just the replay, but I wound it back to the final minute, the final shift that Borowiecki took. And I saw nothing. I would love if somebody saw a slash by Borowiecki. I'm saying saw it and can show me on the video, not just hey yeah he must have. You got to show it to me because I have watched. I've slowed it down. There is nothing, in my opinion, that resembles a slash. There is a bump. You know, there is a play in the closing seconds. Crosby and Malkin are out there. They're pushing. There's a play around the net. Borowiecki does a good job of boxing out Malkin. Good, clean play. Nothing close to a slash. And, of course, if the referee sees a slash there, his arm would go up. There's no arms up. The Predators touch the puck with about a second and a half, 2 seconds to go in the period. So, in theory, if there's a slash that they're calling, that should blow the play dead right there. It didn't. So then you're down to what happened after the horn. And how I see it is Borowiecki kind of bumps him. They had been going at it clean. And then the altercation happens. There is a serious slash that breaks the stick of Borowiecki, knocks it out of his hand, where Borowiecki has no stick.
It broke it in half, didn't it? It just fell out of his hand.
It fell out of his hand, then you can see it. It's not in two pieces, but it's bent. It broke it. It hit it with that kind of force. So it wasn't just like this light tap. I mean, he karate chops him. It's a hard swing. Now, I don't know if the ref thought that it was the opposite in retrospect, because this all happens fast, right? Because then the cross check to the head happens, and Borowiecki's bleeding all over the ice.
Immediately.
So it just looks to me like this is a case of, I'm not sure what happened. I don't know if they huddled up. They huddled up, and they all must have concluded, I didn't quite see it. It happened so fast, I didn't see it.
But they went and looked at it, did they not?
No, well, this not according to Don Koharski, because they had this is where I really give TNT a lot of credit. They brought Don Koharski, a veteran referee, onto the broadcast a couple of times. He was in the studio during the intermission, and that was his criticism of the officials. Is that you can call a major penalty if you're not sure. Then you have the ability to go look at the videotape. You can go to the headset and you can look at the monitor.
What's the reasoning on why you wouldn't if you have that available to you?
They didn't call a major. They didn't call a major. So they decided, hey, we saw what happened, which they didn't. They clearly didn't see it because that was not a high stick. That was a cross check to the face.
Yeah, it's a cross check.
That is not a high stick. That is a classic cross check with your stick in the guy's face.
It is a high stick and a cross check.
Well, either way, it's a major. If there's ever a major, that's a major. So they clearly didn't see that clearly. Borowiecki never slashed. They called him for two minutes for slashing. They did not call Malkin slash, which is the most obvious slash in the history of the game. It's right up. It's a grade A. Here's a slash. That's a slash. And they get 4-2 out of that. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. So if you're not sure what you saw, you have the tool. This is what Don Koharski said. This is not my opinion. Don Koharski, who works with this, he says, I don't know why they didn't call a 5-minute major. There's blood all over the ice. You can call a 5-minute major, and you can go look at it. Then you can assess what happened. And if you did, it would be very easy to call the 5-minute major and a 10-minute misconduct, see you later, ejection, which is what should have happened. It should have been a 5-minute major to start the third period, which is a lot different than a 2-minute minor. A lot different. And, yeah, the Predators came out slow. I don't know what happened on the power play. They didn't do very well. They got a 5-on-3, and they didn't do very well on that either.
Explain to everybody what that means. So there may be, because remember, we're not – We can't assume that the difference is with the major, you can score as many goals as you want. That's the right. You know, the typical power play is when the goal, if a goal is scored, then it's over, right? But this is, to your point, a 5-minute major would allow, and we've seen it happen. We've seen the Predators do it. We've seen it done to them, right? Where multiple goals are scored on a major. So, yeah, it is a big deal. It is a big call or big non-call because getting back to the original point, it could have changed the whole complexion of the game completely. And, again, I understand. It's not going to say that in the standings. It's not going to say, well, Predators may have gotten robbed of a point. It's not going to do that. And I but we're going to talk about it. And the other part is I didn't even factor in, and not that I wasn't thinking that, but, I mean, yeah, you could have taken it past the major, too. He could have been done, which means Malkin isn't a factor in the third period or overtime. He's not, you know, he's not out there. And this just in, yes. He's kind of an important piece to the Penguins.
Of course. That's a game misconduct. And so whether he gets suspended for 3 games, 5 games, or 10 games, it makes no difference to the Predators. They're in the Eastern Conference. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So they missed it in the moment.
It's irrelevant
after
the fact.
He's going to get suspended. That's fine. The Department of Player Safety will do their job. I don't think there's going to be any question that there will be a suspension. But I just could not believe when I looked at the score sheet and saw 4-2 sitting at home. I couldn't believe it. And then I watched TNT's coverage, which I thought was very thorough. And Brendan Burke and Darren Pang made a good point coming out of the third period that the referees, they can go look at the monitor in the dressing room, but they can't consult the NHL. They can't change the call once they make it because they didn't go to the monitor at the time. They didn't call the 5 minutes. So maybe that's something that needs to get looked at. This is one of those where you get a discussion going down the road, but that's just, they just missed that on a couple levels. And I just can't understand the concept of, well, something must have happened. Boro must have set him off to do that, so let's give him 2. What might it have been? Well, maybe he slashed him. I mean, I just don't know what the thinking was there.
You can't.
But the thinking, a lot of it, but we see this
him.
A lot of, hey, there's a skirmish. I think I know who did the worst, and so let's give that guy 4 and the other guy 2. There must have been that. I've seen that a bunch of times, but that's just not what happened on this play. It's not what happened.
So Malkin will have a hearing today with the league. He will get suspended, and to your point, who gives a crap? They don't play Pittsburgh anymore in the regular season, so it doesn't affect them there at the other conference as well. But I guess at least he'll have to pay some type of penalty. To me, in my opinion, 3 games or less is insulting. Anything less than 3 games would be insulting to the Predators and to Borowiecki, who was unable to return. We'll come back and continue the discussion on the other side. Predators fall to Florida and then Pittsburgh. They do get a point with the overtime loss on Sunday. So we'll talk about the weekend that was for the Predators and the week that is. A huge week, a 5-game homestand beginning tomorrow night. We'll do all that on the other side. Darren Dunick, Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. This is what I know coming up in about an hour and a half. Pair of tickets to see Primus at the Ryman. That'll be on May 9th. So keep that in mind. You'll have to call in and participate. So a cool show at the Ryman, 615-737-1025. That'll be our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is what I know at about 11:45, second hour of the program. So Malkin will get a hearing today, this evening, for his cross-check on Mark Borowiecki. Again, he's going to get suspended, but who gives a crap? Because Pittsburgh's in the Eastern Conference. They don't play the Preds anymore in the regular season, and so who cares? He gets 3 games, 4 games, 5 games, whatever it is. And by the way, it seemed like they were kind of all over the place on TNT. It felt like 3 games, and then I heard of 5, and then I heard of 10, heard of 7. I feel like they were all over the place. So I don't know where it's going, but like I said, anything less than 3 games, in my opinion, is insulting.
Yeah, and, that happens every time with this. The recent one that happened that we talked about on the show was Austin Matthews. And I'll be honest, I thought that might get 1.
I didn't think. 2. I didn't even think you'd get a suspended.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure, but they seemed. But if that was a surefire 2-gamer, then this right. this was more blatant than that, for sure.
Way more. Absolutely way more. Let's go up to Portland. Adam wants to weigh in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, but I got two things. Number one, I've ragged on Dave Riddick pretty hard through the year, and that just was phenomenal yesterday. There's so many wide open chances, and he was big save Dave, man. He looked pretty good to me. And then I don't know what it is about Pittsburgh, but I don't know why they are not more, I guess, pronounced throughout the league as a dirty team, because that's not the first time stuff like that happens, especially with star players like that. The equivalent would be like hitting somebody in the face with a baseball bat or a 9-iron, or so. That's the same thing, man. Crossing somebody in the mouth like that is the craziest thing. And it's the same thing with Crosby, man. Crosby's a dirty guy. Like, he's great. He's phenomenal. Maybe that's why people let him off the hook. But you remember what he did to PK. They're just dirty, dude. I hate that because they're flashy or whatever the reason is that they aren't, you know, regarded as a dirty team.
I'm sure if Peter Laviolette was listening to the show, he would just be shaking his head with probably a grin going, yeah, Preds don't get any breaks in Pittsburgh. And I don't mean to laugh, because we know. I mean, it is – there's been a lot of wacky stuff going on in Pittsburgh that has not gone the Predators' way. And this is yet again another example of just a blatant missed call that could absolutely have impacted that game. Now, Pittsburgh was going to get into the playoffs no matter what, because the Eastern Conference has been boring and the eight teams, they're just jockeying for position. They're going to get in. It's been determined for months who was getting in the Eastern Conference. Well, that's not the case in the West. Everything is important. And Devin from Dover on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com said maybe the refs should have been suspended. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's egregious. Like, I don't know how you can, if you have the ability and you have the option and you have the technology and it's allowed in the league, why would you not? It doesn't make any sense to me why you would not go take a look at it. By the way, it took them forever to end the period to begin with. Who cares? It was already a delayed end to the period to begin with. I felt like it took about 4 minutes for them to go to the break to actually wrap up the period. So what's another minute or two? I mean, at this point, you're pot committed. Go on and go look.
No doubt. And look, when your supervisor, when the guy on TV who's a referee, he is usually, in my experience, whatever sport it is, he is going to err on the side of the referee's perspective, right? And Don Koharski said they missed the boat, that they had the tool that they needed to really look at that play. If they didn't see it, was to call 5 minutes. You can always take it down. After you look at it, you can say 2 minutes. You know, you can do it. But he didn't do it. Now, as far as Pittsburgh, I would say it's really not that they're dirty. I don't think they're a dirty team. I think that the reputation that Crosby and their team has, this is again, the perception, probably a lot more so than reality. The Predators haven't played Pittsburgh very much since they hooked up in the Stanley Cup final, is that they get the calls, right? Sidney Crosby is a great player. He gets the calls. And it's interesting that the superstar in Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, that's the thing that everybody belly aches about among their fan bases, is they haven't gotten the calls as much as they probably should. That's at least the narrative that you hear. I don't know what the reality is, somewhere in between probably. Now, Malkin has been suspended before. Crosby is not really considered a dirty player. I know the thing with PK happened in the finals, and he threw the water bottle and all that stuff.
Don't forget the water bottle.
But I don't think dirty when I think Sidney Crosby. But I've seen Evgeny Malkin get suspended for some pretty nasty stuff, and that was not completely out of nowhere yesterday. He's had those moments where he snaps, so he has a record. So I don't know when the last time he was. I can't remember, but that will be taken into account, I think, when they have the hearing. Now, here is what may have happened in the third period. I can't prove it, but the referees probably knew when that period started, we screwed this up. Is that fair to say, Darren? They came in, they're human, right? They saw the monitor during the intermission. They saw it.
So they have to come in there knowing we goofed. So they did call an extra penalty against Brian Boyle. Now there's only 35 seconds left, but hey, they had a 5-on-3. They weren't able to cash in. There was some more calls down the stretch where maybe on a certain day. Now I would say this: they hadn't called anything up until then, right? They were letting them play throughout the thing, so it was a let them play kind of game.
Not to have penalties or fights in the first period was a little bit different for the Preds.
But you heard the crowd boo a bunch on some non calls. Who knows? Maybe in the back of their mind, they're saying, "Look, I'm the couple of close ones here. I'm going to give the Predators the benefit of the doubt." Maybe that's the art of officiating, is how they tried to make that right. But if they had gotten it right to begin with, a very, very important player, a franchise player for the Penguins, is out for the rest of the game. That's really how the play should have been called, and it should have been a 5-minute major to start the period and not a 2-minute minor, which turned into an extra penalty.
Willie, I tweeted during the game that I was like, it's hilarious to me that Pittsburgh fans boo at every call that goes
against them. They boo every call.
And I was like, is the Jumbotron not working at PBG Paints Arena? I mean, are they not seeing the call? Are they not seeing the plays or the replays or what actually? Like, what are you booing? Like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, it's ridiculous. So here's the other one that I want to get to before we have to call it a segment, because I know we're going to go up to Columbus, a tragic story over the weekend that we're going to address. But I still, and I know we've talked about this, and I'm still perplexed. I don't understand it. I don't think I'll ever understand it. It's kind of like goaltender interference, things we've had in the past that we're like, I don't get it. I don't know what it's going to be. You never know. It's 50-50. Again, the fight was Jeannot. Jeannot blows up Letang, and it leads to Matheson coming over and fighting Jeannot. Again, what is – I don't understand. And I know on TNT they were like – because I wanted to get both perspectives. Yeah. When I get Pete and Hal on TNT, they were like, oh, yeah, like, let it law, Don Kaharsky, oh, yeah, he just, you know, he willingly. Yeah.
I know where you're going.
Willingly, because he came over and said, we're fighting. I mean, what do you mean willingly? Like, what do you want Tanner Jeannot to do? Skate away and go hop over the wall? I mean, I don't understand. Matheson had nothing to do with the play. What is the point of an instigator penalty if the guy, a clean play, blows up Letang, and yet Matheson comes over and says, we are fighting? What is the point of the instigator if that isn't an instigator? I don't understand the rule.
It's a very good question. I've had that same question because it has happened probably 10 times this year.
Yes.
In Predator games, including Saturday, where Luke Cunnan stepped up to in defense of Nick Cousins, and he got the full book. He got the instigator, the 5-minute penalty.
He got
17 minutes in the box. So here is the fine line, and I think it's worthy of more discussion. I'll try to be as quick as I can. I know we got to go to our next guest, but if there is a willing combatant,
you have to
give the person a choice. Hey, you just hit my guy. I want to stand up for my guy. Are you willing to fight? Now Tanner Jeannot is willing to fight, and so he dropped the gloves willingly. He doesn't have to fight.
So you have to turtle to get the instigator? That's ridiculous.
That's what's messed up.
It's ridiculous. Now
you can't jump a guy who's not a willing combatant, basically. If you jump a guy who is not agreed to fight or is not a fighter who delivered the hit, that's when you get the instigator. That's what happened to Cunnan. But I agree, it's kind of messed up. And it's interpreted differently at different times.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's inconsistent.
Yes.
The call is very, very inconsistent, and that's what drives me probably crazy the most. A very sad story that happened over the weekend. Former Buckeye quarterback, Steelers quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, dead, hit on the interstate down in South Florida. And so just a horrible story that everybody saw. I think it was Saturday morning when it came out. But we're going to go up to Columbus and speak to someone who covered him at Ohio State, wrote a column in the Columbus Dispatch on him over the weekend on Dwayne Haskins, and we'll talk to him next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. This week, Nashville's best deal, 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town as well. Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. You can head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card at 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. I hear it's fantastic. 312 Pizza. Of course, I love the Chicago-style pizza. I love the deep dish. That's my personal favorite. So jump on our website, GameNashville.com. Go take advantage of that. Nashville's best deals. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We are waiting for Rob Aller to call us back, who is a columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. Very sad story concerning Dwayne Haskins. 24 years old, down in South Florida, hit by a dump truck on the interstate. I guess attempting to cross. So he's just down. He was down there working out with Steelers teammates, and wow! I mean, when I first saw that, I saw it when it first. I think it was Schefter that broke it on Twitter. I saw it the minute he put out that tweet, and I was just like, is this like a fake account? Like what? You know, when you see this stuff. So I don't know. It's a really, really sad story, obviously.
Yeah, just out of nowhere, I've been reading Rob's stuff here. We'll get him on here. He's just calling it now. We'll get him on here in just a second. But it's just a shock. It's such a shock to think about how quick things can change like that under some odd, you know, who knows what the circumstances are. But regardless, it's just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, Rob Aller is on the line with us, columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. Tough news, Rob. We all saw it Saturday morning, and I know you guys on the front page of the sports page of the Columbus Dispatch basically remembering Dwayne Haskins. What do you remember about his time in Columbus playing for the Buckeyes?
Well, he just started everything. I mean, until Dwayne Haskins, with a lot of help with Ryan Day, who by the way, just finished his 45-minute press conference talking about Dwayne. Pretty emotional. But as Coach Day said, this guy had so much confidence in himself. It was like he was built. He was designed. His destiny was to be the quarterback at Ohio State. And what he brought was a different type of quarterback. Ohio State had never really been thought of as quarterback U, of putting guys into the draft. It had been years, really, since anybody. You go back to Art Schleister, even way back in the 80s, of a high draft pick. And then here comes Dwayne Haskins, who's a throw first, not a run first. He's not JT Barrett. He's not Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor, who had okay arms but really were runners. And here comes Dwayne Haskins Jr., who just can fling it. And so from a football standpoint, he started everything. He came in, that greased the skids for Justin Fields to say, hey, I can be a great throwing quarterback at Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, and they've got something going here now as a pass first. The old 3 yards and a cloud of dust are sort of have faded away, and it's this new era of great quarterback play. So that's what Dwayne Haskins brought, a confidence. He wanted to be the guy that started it all, and he was.
What was he like to be around? Obviously, you had to have been around him in his days in Columbus. What was he like as a player, as a person?
Well, he was very compassionate. But again, I go back to his confidence, which bordered on cockiness, but it didn't go over the edge. He wasn't a boastful guy. He was just a confident. He knew what he could do. He had deep faith, and I think that grounded him and brought peace to him. And just would, you know, give you the shirt off his back, and was very, very, I wouldn't say defensive, but very supportive of teammates. He loved Buckeye Nation. And he was just ready to go. He always looked at ease. He never looked flustered. And I think he loved his teammates, and they loved him. His receivers, the Terry McLaurins, these guys at the Paris camp, they are crushed right now. Ryan Day came in and just said he didn't even know what to say to his own team and to the former players who were just devastated. And part of this is just so much unknown. You guys were talking about it. The details just aren't there yet. We don't know exactly what happened. And so that little bit of unknown, that makes things even little less normal, I would say. Not that any of this is normal, but not knowing what happened exactly, it kind of feeds into that.
Rob Oller is with us from the Columbus Dispatch. And Rob, along those lines, I know this is the tough part. Well, and obviously you're not in the area where it happened, but do you think we'll find out more about this part of the story in time?
Well, you would think somebody knows something more than what we've heard. But at the end of the day, I'm not so sure we're going to know exactly. There might be just one person that knows why Dwayne Haskins did what he did. And it was Dwayne Haskins, and he's sadly gone. So it could be, it could have been he took the explanation with him. It's a head scratcher. I know the 911 call was there. Maybe saw him reportedly, on the highway minutes before, he was actually killed. All kinds of speculation and reports. Did he run out of gas? I mean, it's a head scratcher, and you guys, we're all in this together in terms of really not knowing what was going on, not knowing where he was headed.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there have been Twitter, as Twitter does, Twitter's got all kinds of theories, and it can be, it can be innocent and it can be nasty. And so, we're not going to go there, but we may never know. One person, the driver of the truck. We haven't heard that yet. I guess the investigation is still underway. So this one's different, and I think we can all agree on that.
Hmm. Rob, in your tribute, which I thought was really, really well done, one of the things you talk about is once upon a time, Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins were competing for the job, and Dwayne Haskins won the job. And I thought you navigated that really well, just to sort of highlight how good you had to be to beat out a Joe Burrow and then accomplish what he did as the quarterback for Ohio State.
Absolutely. And, there were details that weren't even included in that column, which is, Joe Burrow had broken his hand and had fallen behind in the race between the two guys. And so that set him apart. I will always stand on the right decision was made at the time, knowing what was known then, because of the Michigan game in 2017 where Dwayne Haskins Jr. came on and led Ohio State from behind into the lead and to the win through some incredible passes, made a long run down to the one-yard line. As a coach, Urban Meyer at that time, that speaks volumes, right? You did it in the crucible of the moment, and so that just gives you an edge to where the other guy has to super outplay you in the spring from that point on. And it really kind of was an even match at that point between Joe. Hindsight's 20/20, right? We know what Joe Burrow's done. Joe Burrow was even good then, but Joe Burrow wanted to play. And if we can look at today with the transfer portal and everything like that, guys that want to play, they go play, and more power to Joe Burrow, and it worked out really well for him. But, I was there, boots on the ground, and Dwayne Haskins had the best throwing motion, was the best pure passer at that point of any Ohio State quarterback in history. So, you've got that on your side. You've got a comeback against Michigan. You've got, he wowed you with the eyes. Yeah, there were some leadership issues in terms of he was a little more mild-mannered, but he grew in that during the season, by the end of the season. He totally had the room in the palm of his hand, the locker room. It was all in with Dwayne Haskins. So it's easy to now look at Joe Burrow, Heisman winner, national championship, Super Bowl, and say, well, they blew that, Ohio State. They didn't blow that. Dwayne Haskins had a slight edge, and that's just the way it is.
Finish with this, Rob, quickly, I think it says a lot. You had the family of Ohio State people, a who's who, giving you their feedback, their experience with Dwayne Haskins. I think that says a lot.
Absolutely. You had Joe Germain, who, you know, until Dwayne Haskins was probably the best passer overall in terms of the modern era. And he was blown away by Dwayne Haskins, and he appreciated the way Dwayne Haskins could, toward the end of his, you know, 1 year. Let's remember, he started only 1 year. Toward the end of that year, he would tuck, lower his shoulder, and go. And that gained the respect of a Joe Germain, who said, you have to do that to really get to the elite level. You have to gain those hard yards, tough yards. You go back, you know, old school, Rex Kern, 1968 national championships, the Super Sauce. He watched the Maryland game, and he was also impressed with the way that Dwayne Haskins, who was more of a finesse guy, ran for three touchdowns, including the winning touchdown in overtime against Maryland. And then you had, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, who was just amazed at how fast that Dwayne Haskins got rid of the ball. So when you've got guys like that who are wowed by what they're seeing, that tells you all you need to know. There's your evidence. There's your body of proof.
I got to sink this in real quick, Rob. Titans may be in the market for a wide receiver in the first round now. All the mocks I've looked at, doesn't look like either one of them are going to be there, but sometimes you just never know how the draft is going to play out. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, how good are these guys?
They're great, and they're just a little bit different. I hate to project who will be the better pro, because what you've got is Garrett Wilson's just freak athlete, just can go up and contort his body and bring it down, speed, everything, runs great routes. And then you've got Olave, who I've said is the best route runner I've ever seen at Ohio State, just so smooth and deceptively fast, as you saw his 40 time at the combine, I think low 4.3s, I believe, mid 4.3s. You can't go wrong with either guy. You know, I think because of the prototype NFL wide receiver, that Garrett Wilson may have a little bit of an edge, but Olave, put him in the slot, and he's going to be a good pro for a long time.
Good stuff. Rob, really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Sorry it's under these circumstances, but thank you for shedding some light on the time Dwayne Haskins had in Columbus. We'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Rob Aller is a columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. Back to wrap up the first hour next. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this rainy Monday. Brr. So nice yesterday. Almost 80 degrees. And then today, lots of rain. Oh, well. It is spring.
Yep.
It's better springy than snow on Friday. Snow, man, and sleet.
Man, I sat through two high school baseball games Thursday and Friday. They were not the prettiest. Oh, it was Saturday, not as bad because the sun was out.
Yeah.
It was cold and windy, but not nearly as bad as Friday. Friday, I witnessed a really, really tough battle in not the best conditions. It was, I was happy the kids made it through there because that was not a fun day to play, especially April. You're sitting there going, hey, it's one thing you've trying to tough it
right
out in late February, beginning of March.
Yeah.
But to have a day like that in April where you're, you know, you've hopefully gotten through the worst of it, that was a bummer.
No doubt.
And then, like you said today, let's hope the rain holds off this, but it's iffy for the next few days for all the baseballers, all the ones out there playing the spring sports. I know it's frustrating.
Wednesday, forget about it. You got no chance.
I know.
So we got to get
the games in today, tomorrow.
Forget
but it's,
about it.
It may be raining today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's a storm tonight.
Yeah.
I know. Wait. Like I said, it's that time of year. Teron Davenport coming up to begin the second hour. We'll get into all things Titans with him. In fact, I'll ask him about Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, what he thinks.
Oh, he's been studying those guys. I've been watching. He's got a lot of good stuff on them.
Is there any chance, you know, you never know. That's the thing. It's like, oh, you know, these mocks, it's like, what? Mocks are just – a lot of it's just they have to have something to talk about. Look, my conversations with NFL scouts, scout friends that I have, and people in front offices and people over the years, head coaches, GMs, they'll tell you off the record they laugh at mock drafts. They literally laugh. And they laugh at all the so-called experts that get on here. You know, even the ones that we do, like, this guy's really good, they laugh. Because a lot of this stuff, and not all of them, but a lot of this stuff is just pure entertainment, right? Like, I think a lot of it, ESPN-wise, is just entertainment. That you can't – you have to change the narrative, right? You have to, like – you can't – this is your favorite subject in the world, Willie. You understand. Like, you can't sit here and talk about the same guys in the same spots for 6 months. You have to change it up. You have to find reasons to move people up and down the board. Can you imagine? This would be torture. This would be – if Willie ever got in trouble, that's what his punishment should be. You must talk about the NFL draft for 6 months.
You know what?
Willie was like, I'll take prison.
There's no question
about it.
I'll
take prison.
There's no question about it. I reach my limit. I try to pace myself. I've learned over the years how to do it. It's never ceased to amaze me how much appetite there is by so many for the mock drafts and the rumors and the shuffling and the evaluation of players and the change of the evaluation of players over time. It's a phenomenon. It really is. But yes, if you wanted to really torture me, that would be the punishment, is just sit me in front of the TV and force me to watch draft coverage around the clock for months.
No. Cover it. Like, you would have to be our draft expert on the station for 6 months.
I want at least a 2-round Willie spiteful mock draft.
Every day.
By the end of this week.
You would have to come on every show throughout the course of the week and talk about the draft for a segment or two. Every day for 6 months.
Now, if I actually had to get on the road and go to the schools and actually try to do the evaluation, I could do that for 1 year.
Could
I think
you?
That would be a fun, different
okay.
thing where I could dive in. I could commit to that, actually doing the work. It's just talking about it when I'm not, when there's so many other, to me, exciting things going on the field, on the ice, on the court. That's what it just always amazes me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great on the day of the draft. I love the drama of the draft, but the buildup, like when you have the Masters and you have baseball starting and you've got the hockey playoffs about to begin, the NBA playoffs. All of those are just way more interesting to me than the preparation of the draft. Like, I've learned to enjoy the draft itself. Like, I don't watch all of the coverage, but I'm like everybody else. I'll watch the draft. You know, I'm curious just like everybody else, even though it's not an event. You know, it's not a game.
It's
but like, we saw it here in Nashville. It was unbelievable how many people just
– I know.
Sat out in the rain.
We had a blast. We weren't, but we were down there. Oh, we weren't in the rain.
I was in the rain for a while. Then we got rescued. We got behind the scenes.
Then you got the VIP trip.
It was awesome. That was amazing.
I'll
never forget. Who
days.
Was it? Was it? I forget which celebrity they had. It was a who's who. Robin Roberts came out there at one point. I don't think she was there, but she was on ABC. You know, addressing the crowd. Then they had Deion Sanders was there. Michael Irvin was there. And at one point, one of the people came out there and said, all right, the rain's about to start, but we love that you're here. The crowd is, they didn't go anywhere. They got poured on.
Nope.
But they wanted to see it.
You know what else we loved about the draft? The house band. We love the house band. We love those guys.
Oh, yeah.
What a cool gig for them. Again, they didn't have to do it in the rain either.
No.
Which was nice. Had some, by the way, Vince Ferrara coming up at noon. Vols just keep getting done. First team ever to start off SEC play like this. It's amazing. I've been saying this for weeks, and every time I do, it's like, what again is their weakness? What am I missing? this team is legit. I would love to see Vanderbilt and Tennessee get back to Omaha again and see how this all plays out. But you cannot look at this team and not say that Tennessee is not a legit contender to win a national championship.
Oh, I think they were before the season started, and now
no,
the
I know,
way
but now
playing,
that we've seen it, I'm saying grief. They are 100% legit. I mean, they may end up going into, you know, the College World Series if they get there, you know, by far the favorite to win it, right? The odds maker. So,
well, sitting here today, there's no doubt. I think the journey of a baseball season is a long journey, and that's the only question is, will they have some speed bumps? It's hard to just blow everybody away in baseball. We know baseball is a funny game, But at the end of the day, they're going to be there with a great opportunity. They're going to host a regional. They're going to play at home the entire time to get to Omaha, and then that's all you can ask for. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt did not bounce back the way I hoped that they would. They won one out of two. They still had some things go wrong down in Auburn, which is, you know, going on the road in the SEC is not easy. That's what's been so impressive about Tennessee. They've just whitewashed everybody even when they're not playing at home. But I'm still wondering, you know, how Vanderbilt's going to get back to where they want to be, expect to be.
Who was the Auburn player that looks like he plays beer softball?
Jeez,
on Wednesday nights? Plays in the beer softball.
He had
league.
A bomb yesterday.
Well, he had two, didn't he? He had two.
Man, I saw that guy. I didn't see the whole game. I was watching, you know, the Predators were on, the Mets were on. I was flipping around a lot of games.
He's got a body that we can all appreciate.
Yeah.
It does not look like what you would think an SEC baseball player body looks like. Going back to our earlier discussion before we get out of here at this hour, Josh on our text line says, I wish I could get a 3 to 5 day vacation for hitting a customer at work in the face with a stick. And that is, would Malkin, is the suspension with pay or
no,
without?
No, it's without pay. They
without
take your pay.
Okay, yeah. So Josh, keep that in mind. Yeah. It would be without pay.
Yeah. Are you willing to, do you make that much money that you could lose 3 to 5 days
of pay? Or do customers bother you that much that you'd be willing to do it without pay?
I'll pay the fine.
I don't care. Just let me give this customer a stick to the face. I'll take the 5 days.
But that was something when we were little, right? Or, you know, maybe even in high school you had this question. Like, so-and-so got suspended from school. Didn't you always joke with your friends, suspended? Is that really that bad? You actually don't have to come to school?
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, that's punishment?
Yeah.
Just wondering about that.
It's the public shame that you get. Everybody knows.
Ooh,
you got suspended.
Suspended.
He's a bad boy. He got suspended. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second hour with TD. We do that next.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.